Welcome back, baseball family, to our Thursday Night Live. I'm Brig. I'm going to be driving this ship today. I got my first mate, Mr. Blackjack Brad, here with me. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you this evening, Mr. Brig?
Good.
Captain Brig, I should say.
Oh, thank you very much for that. We are good. Things are good. This episode is brought to you by Ibuprofen. And 8U softball. Yep. The Love two it. Go hand in hand at my family. Not for anybody but me, but they definitely
go hand in hand for a lot of families. Let's be honest with you.
Yeah, let's be honest. They're comorbid. Baseball family, wanted to let you know before we jump into all of the shenanigans that came about this week that if you like what we're doing here, we would really appreciate a like and subscribe. If you're listening to us on one of your favorite platforms to stream, or if your podcast platform allows you to, go ahead and drop us a rating and a review. That's particularly effective on Apple Podcasts. But specifically for you watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit the bell for notifications, go ahead and subscribe. All of that does more than you could imagine to help the show. Now, let's get into the business here, okay? We're going to talk. We got a new thing. We got a new thing, Brad.
Okay.
This is the inaugural episode of Trout Tracker 24.
Trout Tracker 24.
I was just going to say that needs like a, we needed a cool voiceover that you just graciously provided off the cuff. Sweet. My friend. Nailed it. What was that game in the 90s that you shot the blades and they spun at each other and they
crossfire.
Crossfire.
Coming to get you, crossfire.
That's exactly what we need. crossfire. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Total 80s rock, but it was in the 90s. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it might have been the late 80s, but anyway.
And I wanted one so bad.
Who didn't?
I know. So here we are. All that to say, we are doing the Mike Trout Tracker 2024, where we are doing a giveaway. Okay, we're doing a giveaway for our listeners. You got to tell us, filling out a Google form, which will be in the link in the description. Brad might put it in there right
momentarily.
Now. There you go. You're going to fill out this Google form, and you're going to tell us how many home runs you think Mike Trout is going to hit this season, all by himself. He's the only one doing anything on the Angels anyway. It's going to be great. How much weight is Mike Trout going to carry by way of home run for this year's Angels team? Okay, now, in order to win, you have to get as close to the total amount of home runs Mike Trout hits this season without going over. That's a stipulation. If you go over, you're automatically disqualified, except you get a high five, which is going to be even better, right? Even better than winning. Yeah. So jump in there, do the Google form, and let us know. There's also an opportunity in there. Obviously, we're going to collect your email. We have to in order to let you know if you win. But if you want to subscribe to the newsletter, that's another way you can do it. We made it easy. Just say yes or no. Yes is better. The end. All right.
Right. For sure.
The reason we're tracking. Go ahead.
There you go. Oh, I was going to say, Mike Trout leads MLB with 10 homers as of this afternoon, which puts him on pace for 64 dingers this year. Like I said, we want to know how many you think he's going to end up with. And there are some stipulations with this contest, right? If he gets injured, we're going to pause the contest until he comes back. All entries must be in before Memorial Day. We don't want people at like the All-Star break being like, hey, we got a little bit of insider information here as far as pace this far into the season. So we're going to cut it off at Memorial Day. That's May the 27th. If Trout is out for the season after that, then whatever his total was, that when he sustained that season-ending injury, knock on wood, maybe send up a little baseball prayer there, Brig, to make sure that doesn't happen, because we would hate to see that happen. That will be his season total. So if you want to go prices right on this, that's fine. That's just fine. But closest to the pin without going over, we're going to play this little game this season, see how it goes, and the winner will get a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. T-shirt. Very excited.
All expense paid t-shirt. All inclusive, like they say.
From yours truly.
That's right.
Please pluralize yours truly. Huh. Anyway, let's move right along past that.
I think it's yours is.
Yours is.
Anyway. Anywho.
Scherzer is the next topic of discussion, Brad, because what we need to do, he says, is rank the umpires. And basically, he's right. I don't think
he's 100% right on this.
This is not a crazy proposition. This is right. Exactly the right answer. So here's what he says. He says, quote, "For me, how I conceptualize how the electronic strike zone should be is we need to rank umpires." This is what he told reporters, okay? Quote, "Let the electronic strike zone rank the umpires. We need to have a conversation about the bottom. Let's call it 10%, whatever you want to declare the bottom is, and talk about relegating the umpires to the minor leagues and getting in the best umpires in the game. That way, the umpires are going against themselves." End quote. Bangarang, Peter.
It is. Yeah, that is an absolute bangarang, first off. Second, I talked about this earlier this week, I think, when I was by myself, because I heard on Foul Territory last week, and this is just me reiterating this, that the reason we don't see that happen is because part of their collective bargaining agreement is that they cannot be demoted or fired unless they do something illegal.
Yeah, it's wrong. Wrong answer. Because
they agreed to not take pay raises in order to have indefinite job security. So that's a problem that needs to be addressed. And I think that as they address that, this is the solution. And I think a lot of umpires who take their job seriously, Pablo, let me know if you get that reference.
Yeah.
They would love to be ranked because they're like, I'm good at my job. I take it seriously. I enjoy what I do. Maybe they don't enjoy it, but like I said, take it seriously. So I want to be really good at it. There are a select few who don't seem like they care. Angel Hernandez seems like he's mailing it in and as a repercussion or a retaliation against MLB for getting his lawsuit thrown out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's taking it out on the players and the fans and the managers. Taking it on
everybody.
Everybody is getting
it's the Angel Hernandez rap. Revenge tour is what it is.
It's exactly right. We call him the evil angel. If you didn't pick up on that already.
But there's more to this, Brig. Angel.
There's a lot
more to this, and I think this part's important. Go ahead.
So this part's important. When he says, when I'm out there pitching, this is again Max Scherzer, when I'm out there pitching, if you told me I had the 10th best umpire or the 75th best umpire, you don't really notice too much between them because they're really good at their jobs. The umpires are actually really good. It's really the bottom umpires that we really have a problem with. So if there's a mechanism to make the umpires at the bottom better, I think that would be a better way to address this.
Boom. That's the important part, is that there is a general consensus that umpires are very good at their jobs. It is a hard thing that they do. And we can forgive a couple missing here and there. And I've heard the guys on Foul Territory say, it's AJ Przinski and Eric Kratz, if you haven't listened to it. They're like, umpires make mistakes. We understand it. It's the ones who own it. We appreciate it. The ones who are like, that wasn't, I missed that.
Sorry, man.
But that's where they all have a problem. And Max Scherzer saying the umpires are generally very, very good, compliments those who are, and they're the ones who I think would take this ranking seriously.
Yeah, it sounds like the core, right? The majority. Yeah. Here's my and then thing, you too.
Weed out those bottom 10%.
Right. Here's my other thing. I truly believe that in any merit-based or professional environment, you know who the best is among your peers. Right. Like, you just do. So you can't tell me that these other umpires aren't taking a certain amount of umbrage with those who are taking it less seriously or who don't act as professionally as they see themselves being or whatever. You spin that sentiment however you want. I really think that there must be a strong idea of who the best really is and sort of how that ranking already exists, right?
Right.
We've started to see it get put down on paper with umpire rankings, with the umpire ratings guys when they do game ratings
for umpires, the umpires' performances. Like the scorecards and umpire auditor. Yeah, those guys for sure.
Scorecard. Yeah. So yeah. we now are getting an empirical look, right? An insight into what MLB's ranking could look like for umpires. And it really needs to happen. Max Scherzer's bang on. I love that it's coming from not just a player, but a player's union representative and a guy who is widely respected by the fans and the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's bingo. It's money. Yeah,
unfortunately, I don't know how much respect he has from the league, like the front office, the league office, because right. he is a player representative with the union and a Boris yeah. client to boot. So yeah,
exactly. Well, that's a really good point.
they might whatever. Be like, Max is spouting off again. Grumble, grumble.
So my question is, Brad, should this all come under the transition to electronic umpiring? Should this sort of be part of that as a function or as a facilitation somewhere? Is the tool going to support the Major League Baseball umpires, or is it going to take away? Like, what do you think?
I think it'll support them, because with replay, we see, like, I always feel like there should be a rating system with the umpires with the replay system they have in place right now, you know, like holding yeah. some level of accountability. Like, I understand yeah. missing a call here and there, give them a little bit of like grace. But if there's a guy who's missing calls all the time and is constantly having calls overturned, like there was somebody last year, I think, it was last year. There's an umpire who in one game had like three or four calls overturned. It's like, dude, and you're on the bases. Like, wake up.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You know, like,
yeah,
like they should be able to hold them to some level of accountability and some level of rating with the replay system, with the strike zone. I think you put it all together and it's a function of how you are as an umpire, because I get it. The game is fast. We talked about this. It's hard. It's a hard job. It's a really hard job. We've talked about this 1,000 times. We were talking about it 5 minutes ago, right?
Yep.
But you're getting paid really well to do this job that people who are probably better than you at that point could come in and take your job. If there was somebody, if my company found somebody who was way better than me for cheaper, they'd probably replace me.
100%.
And I'd be like, yeah, they've earned it. Right? So,
yeah, if there is good.
And it happens with the players. It happens with the manager. It happens with everybody in the league. Why can't it happen with the umpires?
Yeah, it's the one.
Sports. If you're going to work in sports, that's the way it works.
It's crazy. All right, we got to move on so we don't take up too much time. Let's talk about some underwhelming debuts. Debuts. That always feels like a weird word. Let's talk about some underwhelming French debuts, okay?
There you go.
So, Jackson Holliday and Jack Leiter are the two we're going to talk about, because in case you've been living under a rock, that's the two that have been struggling the most, okay? Also with the biggest targets on their back. So here
that's the reason why right there.
That's why. Jackson Holliday, I wouldn't say underwhelming is the right word. I know I thought that before. It has been overwhelmingly bad.
There you go. Yeah.
It's not underwhelming. It's shockingly underperforming. Just some context here. He went as the number one prospect in Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, MLB's prospect pipeline. He went from number one in every single one of those lists
Hold on. Before you go, he tore up AAA. He tore up spring training. He was looking like he was going to come into the league and just absolutely just rip it to shreds. Like, he was ready to go hit the ground running. Yeah. To tell us, Brig,
a negative 0.5 war, according to Baseball Reference, the B war. So this is astonishing. He hit 311 in spring training.
Well, and out of like almost 500 in AAA before he got called up.
Yeah, and out of a possible 10 on sort of pitcher qualifications, the quality of pitching he was facing, the references show, if you're into statisticals, right, for you, get your abacus out, because this is how this works. Pitcher quality in spring training alone was at a 7.9 out of 10. So pretty good pitching, right? Anything at the 8 below is AAA. Anything in the 9 to 10 range is considered major league. So 7.9. Okay. I think that's relevant because now he gets to the major leagues and he's seeing nothing but big league speed and nothing but big league movement. And now in 10 games and 36 plate appearances, his batting average is a 0.59.
He's barely batting his age. Like, yeah, like a lot of times they're asking, you batting your weight? Yeah, batting my weight. Well, all right, yeah, you'll get there. You know, he's barely batting his age.
Yeah, I think his shoe size bigger than that. You know, depending, he's probably 5 foot size, 9 inches tall. Let me look.
Close. But so not only that, but he's got a 170 OPS. He struck out 18 times. And that's to me, that's the hard part, is like, you can get up there and have competitive at bats and you can put the ball in play. And it's like, man, it's just not falling for me. Right. Because a lot of times if it's just not falling, eventually it will, because you're just, they just call it being unlucky. Right. Cause you gotta be lucky in baseball to get hit sometimes.
Yeah.
If it's just not falling, you're just not, you're just unlucky, and eventually it will. He's not even putting the ball in play. He struck out in half of his plate appearances, has two total bases, two singles during this time. Like, it's hard. Like, it's just crazy to see the jump from AAA to the big leagues, how incredibly vast it is. That this happened with Jared Kelnick. I always come back to Jared Kelnick when we talk about guys struggling.
Yeah.
Because he was shredding AAA. Shredding it, and everybody was like, why is he not up? And it's crazy because you have to give these front office guys some credit, because they see something. Like, they, in Baltimore's front office, they must have seen something in the front office during spring training, during his time in AAA, to be like, he's just not quite there yet, right? That they saw something we didn't. But he's putting up the numbers where it's like, but we can't really keep him down much longer.
You can't. Yeah, you can't. Now, let's not forget, he is 8 years younger than the Major League Baseball average age. Just an average. He's 8 years younger than the average guy on the field. He's 20 years old, and he's only halfway to being 21 years old.
Bro. So that's the thing to think about. Keep that in mind. He's still really young. He's got, what, a year and a half of minor league baseball under his belt is all?
Right. Only a year and a half. And listen, that's where it gets interesting, because he went on The Athletic, was interviewed by The Athletic, and he said, quote, obviously I wasn't expecting this. I knew what I was getting myself into. It's the best of the best of the best for a reason. I guess I haven't had a challenge yet. And this is the first one, so it's obviously challenging, but I feel like I'm handling it the best I can. Is that a huge slap in the face? Is that carrying a big stick and walking tall? Is it appropriately placed confidence?
I think it's appropriately placed confidence, because he knows what the big leagues are like. He grew up in a big league clubhouse. Right, his dad was a big leaguer forever.
Seven-time All-Star. Yeah.
And so this is one of the things, is that Trevor May talked about this with Anthony Rendon. He's like, some guys have the talent just to get to the big leagues. They have the talent to get there. Some guys have the talent, natural talent, to stay there. Not everybody does. And when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's like, I had the talent to get to high school baseball. But because I hadn't had to work to that point, I didn't know what to do to get better.
Right.
And the thing that helps guys stick in the big leagues, if they have the talent to get there but not the talent to stick, the difference is the guys who figure out how to work and how to improve, how to stick there, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody's got to do something to stick there. Boy, and for everybody, it's a different level of work. Some guys work harder than others to stick. Some guys just have to do a little bit to stick.
Well, and I don't think we're sitting here questioning Jackson Holliday's work ethic or his ability to work through adversity.
But
I think what we're saying is he hasn't had to work maybe this hard or this small, right? Because I think when you get to this level, you have to own every inch of everything, right? And so you're like, I'm a professional. I want to be elite, which means you have to own every square inch of whatever it is you're doing. And maybe he hasn't gotten into the weeds like that yet.
Right. Exactly. Right. That's what I was going to say, is that some guys, maybe there were guys who had the talent to get to college, and that's where they learned how to work. And so they've taken that work ethic through to the big leagues, and that's what they're using. Jackson Holliday has not had to use that level of work ethic yet. So he's going to figure it out. I'm not, like you said, not saying he's not a hard worker. He just hasn't had to learn how to do it yet. He's going to learn how to do it. He's got a dad who can absolutely teach him. He's got a great organization there with him who can teach him how to do it. He'll figure it out. He's got the talent. Obviously, he knows how to work because he's gotten to this point, right? So he'll take it to the next level. He'll get back off the bench, and he'll stick. Not worried about
it. I guarantee you. Barring some wild something, which we're going to hope never happens, I guarantee you he comes back and is not a first-round bust like we've seen so many times. It's not going to happen.
No, he's not going to be a bust. No chance.
Let's talk about Jack Leiter really quick, and then we'll get into the national TV broadcasts for the weekend. Jack Leiter made one start. He's also the son of a very prominent baseball personality. Jack Leiter made one start, lasted 3 2/3 innings, gave up 8 hits, 7 earned runs, 3 walks. He had 3 strikes, 4 strikeouts. So, I mean, he's got that going for him, which is nice. He gave up 4 runs in the second, 3 runs in the fourth, and that was just enough to surrender the lead. And then he came out. The end.
Yeah.
Not just of your day, but go back to AAA and let's rework some things.
Yeah, I was shocked that at that point they were like, we've seen enough. But again, it might be one of those things where the front office has more information or knows what to do with the information better than we do to see him and be like, yeah, he needs to go back down and work on some stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe mechanically, mentally, I don't know what. But yeah, they sent him back down to Round Rock, and who knows how long he'll be there for.
I don't know. We'll see. Baseball family, if you like what we're doing here, another way you can support the show is to go to Patreon. Search Baseball Together and check out the 5 tiers of support that we have. $1, $5, $10, $15, and a whopping $500 will get you all kinds of perks and benefits. But specifically, everybody who signs up is going to get a sticker, and you're going to get an episode edition, right? You're going to get a version of the episode that is not what everybody else gets to see. And it's all the behind the scenes stuff, which is really fun. We call it the bullpen cut, and everybody has access to it who is a patron. So for those of you who are, thank you. Could not do this without you. We appreciate you so much.
That's right.
All right, Brad, tell us about Friday's games.
Okay, Friday's games, your free MLB TV game of the day is the Twins at the Angels. That game starts at 9:38 p.m. Eastern. And then you can head over to Apple TV Plus, and there's a pair of games there on Friday night. The Cards at the Mets is at 7:10 p.m. Eastern, and the Rays at the White Sox is at 7:40 p.m. So if you want to, you can hop back and forth on commercials, or you can pick one and just watch. Personally, I would be watching the Cards and the Mets, I think, because that would be a better matchup, most likely. And on ESPN, thank goodness, because it's the only game of this series I'm going to get to watch all weekend long. Got the D-backs of the Mariners at 9:40 p.m.
Aren't you lucky with all the blackouts?
So lucky that I even get. Oh, I get 2. Oh my gosh, break! Must be my birthday.
I love that for you. Love it. Saturday's FS1 will be D-backs at Mariners, 9:40 p.m. Then on Fox at 4:05 p.m. You can watch either the Cards at the Mets or the Reds at the Rangers, depending on your region/blackout/possibly preferences. And then MLB TV's free game of the day for Saturday will have Cleveland's Baseball Club in Atlanta at 7:20 p.m. Sunday.
Good one.
MLB TV's Sunday. Free game. Yep, MLB TV's game of the day. Game.
Again, the Cards and Mets. That's going to be on all weekend for you. You can watch that everywhere, all weekend, Cards and Mets. That game's at 1:40. I'm curious why that's like the highlighted series of the weekend, because I don't know. It's interesting. And then the ESPN. Well, so are these ESPN Plus, these top ones here, Brig? Are these all ESPN Plus games?
No.
Oh, they're all on ESPN?
They should be all on ESPN. That's what I read.
Fascinating. That's a lot of baseball on ESPN when they have not
the same thought.
So A's at Orioles at 1:35 p.m. And then you've got the Astros at the Rockies at 4:05 p.m. Oh, that's because the Astros-Rockies game, that one is part of the Mexico City series.
So there it is.
That will be fascinating to watch because those are a couple teams that should be hitting home runs, you would think. But anyway,
well,
then the Sunday night game is the Cubs at the Red Sox. That game, as always, is a 7:10 p.m.
Right. Sunday night baseball.
Series to watch this weekend. I'm going to get to watch a whole lot more of the D-backs at the Mariners than I thought I was going to, so I would definitely be watching that one. Another one I want to see is I want to see the Cubs at the Red Sox. These are a couple teams, like the Cubs, I talked about this in spring training, that I feel like they should have been better than what we have been giving them credit for. They're a good team, and the Red Sox are off to a good start too, so that'll be a fun series to watch for sure. Apparently, I'm going to watch the Cards and the Mets because TV told me to. There's that. Oh, and the Reds at the Rangers is another one I'll be watching. I've been following the Reds all year long, and I like the Reds. I keep tabs on the Rangers because of division rivalry.
Good idea. Okay, the series I'm going to be paying attention to. I like watching the Orioles these days anyway, but it's gotten way more interesting once the Yankees split a series with the Athletics. So Baltimore will be hosting the A's, and I'm like, what? Like the pitching. Coming out of Oakland this week was just bananas. It was crazy. So, yeah, Blackburn, Sears just chewed us to pieces. Still can't figure out why. Still an angry person. It's going to be all right. So I'll be interested in the Orioles Athletics series. Obviously, I will be watching the Yankees play the Brewers. That should be very interesting as well, given what happened with Oakland. So that's cool.
Brewers, like, we did not see this coming. No. Not even a little bit. Lose their manager, lose a bunch of key players, and they're doing this.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like,
I don't get it. I don't understand
it. Yeah, for those of you not tracking, they are in first place in the Central by a bowl game over the Cubs. So,
yep.
I don't know, man. Game. I don't know if they're doing it, but I guess they just know what they're doing up there.
Yeah. The Angels, I'll be doing the Trout Tracker 24, so I'll be watching the Angels Twins.
Are we eligible for this contest, Brig?
No. No, okay. We can't be eligible.
Not that I need a t-shirt. It would just keep anybody from winning if we were right.
with the way your pick's coming in, you'd be the one that wins anyway.
I've been pretty hot lately. Yeah.
I'll
get to that. Okay. Should we get to this day in baseball?
That is right now.
This day in baseball history, April the 25th, 1901, in the American League opener at Detroit's Bennett Park, the Tigers used a monumental comeback to beat Milwaukee. They were trailing 13-4 going into the bottom of the ninth. The Tigers scored 10 runs in the bottom of the ninth for a 14-3 walk-off victory. So don't leave early just because your team's getting blown out. You never know.
You know how many times I've seen that?
You never know. It happens all the time. Like, it's bananas.
It's crazy.
That's why we love baseball. Crazy. You got to get all 27 outs.
You have to, man, and there's never an easy one.
No.
It might look easy, but
that's
it's not.
That's the thing that's crazy is I was watching the Mariners today during the day, and I was just like, you would think with a guy like Luis Castillo on the mound, there would be easy outs, but there were no easy outs in that game against the Rangers. Every time they hit the ball, it was just like, gah!
Okay,
please stay on the ground or please land in somebody's glove.
So, listen, I totally get it because the Yankees just had that exact same experience with the A's.
A's are better. They're a lot better this year, man.
I know, but they shouldn't be. Well,
you're right.
But I don't know. They have a lot of talent. And Rooker's back up, and I don't know. Ruiz is back. I don't know.
Langoliers is going to be an all-star somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be in Vegas or Sacramento or wherever the A's are in the next 3 to 4 years. That dude's going to be an all-star. He is a great catcher. He's the next Sean Murphy.
I agree with you. Sean Murphy
the same
is exactly who I would say.
Pedigree. Yes.
Right. If I, I have felt the same way. That's fascinating you said that because I have felt that way. All right, baseball family.
Crazy. They don't have developed and they just don't keep him around because they don't want to pay him. But anyway, go ahead, Briggs. Sorry.
That's ridiculous. Well, somebody pay Trevor Bauer. That's your daily reminder. Okay, put it up to the somebody pay Trevor Bauer. All right, listen, baseball family, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We already told you about all that, but we put out stuff every single day. Don't miss any of it. It's always awesome. It's always us, and it's always here for you. I just made that up on the fly, and I really liked it. Baseball family, thank you.